Blog Talk Radio.
Are you ready?
Good afternoon, and welcome to another segment of the Artist Roundtable. This is where you can bring it and put it on the table. You share your thoughts, your concerns, your triumphs, your, you know, struggles. So this is where you can share it and with others of like mind, you know, get their opinions, get their thoughts, and, you know, it's all been good. It's all been safe here on the Artist Roundtable. I want to thank my dear friend E. West and his friend Magnificent Wonders for creating my new intro, you know, for Flavor News. I'm so excited. I've been asking artists to create me some drops and radio intros, and I have a show that I'm starting for the Pacific Northwest called Be More Pacific and all of that. So E. West is the first one to come through for me, and I want to thank him so very, very much. I do have other intros, wonderful intros that were created by a dear friend, Bomani, out in Michigan that I use for my Flossom and Tossom and my Flavor in the House and my Flavor Coffee House. So I'm very, very blessed, but I'm trying to get my Pacific Northwest people, you know, to help a sister out here. Anyway, this is the Artist Roundtable, and I want to invite you to come and share. The call-in number is 347-857-1189. There's a few subjects that have been thrown out that we may discuss tonight, but we'll just see who calls in. But you know what? In the meantime, I'm going to play this intro. Even though this event has already taken place, I just want to tell you a little bit about it. It's something that was absolutely amazing for me to be a part of and to experience. This is Dope Emporium's promo, and I'll tell you a bit after the promo.
Dope, meaning fly, banging, fresh, funky, but ultimately the best the culture represents, the pureness of the art form. English is not our mother tongue, and if we want to chop it up every once in a while, that's our privilege. Let's once again become the cultural custodians of this thing we call hip-hop.
Shemans on the street, Santonio Bandanas. Check it out, it's going down November 13th over here at Washington Hall, Dope Emporium. That means nothing but the real, all kill, no fillers, you know what I'm saying? Holler that. Tell your people, all ages, free, Washington Hall, November 13th.
Dope Emporium, come build with these historians.
Supply the symbol, wanna see us permanently crippled. Government officials blowing the whistle, after the fact, flood the hood with coke and pistol.
At the age of six, I got my first fix. It was 1986 up on some b-boy shit.
Times became a rapid, rap they can't perfect it. Rats, they're leaving a broken, I'm rapping the cops that may be elected.
Not consuming this bright light, luminous. Frequencies are tuning us, melting you into human dust.
I show you places in the world where the truth lies. And villains be winning and superheroes really do die.
I come through, we do the whole thing. You wanna see me, you better fold kings. Cause I gotta
bring music for your soul like rings and black IPs. Plus I spit doper than black in an IV.
Washington Hall, November 13th, Dope Emporium, holla back.
Don't miss it. This is Delta 7.
What's happening, y'all?
Signing off live from UPC.
You know how it goes down. November 13th.
Come get it.
It's like this.
Yeah. Raspy.
All right. No, on November 13th, which was this past Saturday, Dope Emporium took place, which is Seattle's very own hip-hop festival. It was an all-day affair, starting at 4 p.m. in the afternoon. And I have to tell you, I don't think that it actually finished until 1:30 in the morning. I know I got home at 2. It was absolutely amazing. You know, there are a few glitches having that many artists perform there had to be, you know. And honestly, I lost count, but maybe around 31 artists performed or participated in one form or fashion. The beauty of this was it was about community, and it was about our young people. And there's so many kids, from newborn babies to, you know, teenagers that came out and hung out with us. And some of them hung for hours. And I have to, you know, say thank you to the Dope Emporium crew, you know, Black Stacks being the main ones, to Heidi Jackson, Dion, Jasmine Scott from Town Entertainment, you know, the UPC, the Mojo Peace Center, just all kinds of people participated in making sure that this event was such a great success. And I want to thank all the artists that came and performed or participated as hosts. And I want to thank all the people that came out and just supported this event. It was an amazing, amazing experience. And within the next day or so, you'll be seeing videos posted to pictures, I'm sure, so that we can share this with all of you from around the United States and around the world. Now, again, this is the Artist Roundtable tonight. I know for some reason I scheduled it an hour early. I'm not sure what happened and why I did that, but, you know, I'm old and forgetful. So, you know, call in. Come hang out with me. The number is 347-857-1189. Otherwise, you know what, I'm just going to play some tracks because, you know, I don't really want to talk to myself. I want to talk to you. So I'll just play some tracks until somebody calls in and wants to hang out with me. I'm going to scroll past the Pacific Northwest. I know you guys have been hearing me play a lot of music from my own hometown, which, you know, I'm proud to do. But I've got so many other artists that I do want to share with you. And let me just see. Who can I play for you? I want to play a track by a dear friend of mine out of South Carolina. I had the pleasure of meeting him here in Seattle when he was out here performing. Oh, gosh, how long ago was that? A few months back. And this is the dubber with his track called With a Feeling.
I'm telling you, people, I see you moving slow.
That was the Dubber out of South Carolina with his track, What a Feeling. There is a caller on the line. They don't have their hand raised from the 773 area code. So let me just click on their line and see if by chance they want to talk. Caller from the 773, you're on the air with Lady Flava. Did you want to hang out and talk this evening?
Oh, sure, Lady Flava. What's good? It's the Cloak.
Hey, how are you, darling?
I am doing good, and yourself?
I'm very good. I'm glad that you called in. Now, remind me where you live.
I live on the west side of Chicago, Illinois.
Oh, okay. Okay. So you're from Chi-Town. Okay. So the person who kind of started the idea for a discussion tonight hasn't called in, so we're just going to have to go to Detroit and spank him. But one of the, I'm like, okay, he gave an idea for a discussion and then he's not here yet. And intellect, you know, you were in the chat room, darling, you really should call into the show and talk, you know, hang out with the Cloak and me. So call in to 347-857-1189. Would love to hear your thoughts too. But one of the subjects that was thrown out there, is, you know, sacrifices. How far would you be willing to go to reach what you need or deem to be, you know, considered successful? And as far as you as an artist, you know, what are your feelings around making sacrifices and what that would look like in your world?
Well, actually, concerning my career, I made a lot of sacrifices, actually. You know, it became more about the art and my career as time progressed. Before, you know, I was the typical young guy. I was about 18 years old. I decided to go into music professionally, and I honestly had no idea what I was getting into. Like, I knew you had to have the necessary talent to be a lyricist and an artist and a, you know, producer and so on, but I had no idea. I had my work cut out for me. I was staying up until 5 or 6 o'clock in the morning doing research, reading contracts, finding out the necessary requirements to start a label. As far as any financial sacrifices, money spent on studio time and, you know, versus going out to buy the latest, you know, gym shoe or the latest fashion or, you know, things of that nature. Most of my money and time was spent on music and constantly learning as well as, you know, building myself as an artist and an entrepreneur.
Well, I appreciate the fact that you said, you know, you were up late, you know, doing the research and things, because I think a lot of artists that I come across have not taken the time to do that. You know, that they feel they have some form of talent and they want to jump out there, you know, without just really, really knowing the business aspect and, you know, in a sense, protecting themselves too when they create. I mean, if you don't copyright your product and all, you know, somebody else could steal it and use it or, you know, whatever it is, you know, understanding contracts, I think that's something that's really important. You know, is to understand, you know, the legalities and the wording, the verbiage that's used, because I think a lot of people are out there, you know, pulling the wool over, you know, many inexperienced artists' eyes, so I can definitely appreciate that. Now, do you have a family by chance?
No, actually, my mother and my younger brother, we all stay in the same place right now, as well
okay.
as, you know, just as well as my regular immediate family.
Okay.
They've been the ones, they've basically been the ones who's been with me throughout my entire process so far, and,
okay.
you know, they'll tell you, you know, it's been time where I kept them up late preparing for shows or for the studio or freestyling or writing, so,
Well, I my adult children live here, too, with me and my grandson, so I totally understand the whole family concept of being together, and I can appreciate the fact that, you know, they have, you know, gone through this process with you of experience, what it's taking, you know, for you to create and be who it is that you are. I rented the downstairs, my mother-in-law's unit in the house, to some hip-hop artists. And in the very beginning, it was challenging having the beat maker down there because, oh, my God, he had no concept of time of when he really needed to turn that off. I'm like, okay, you know what, my son has to get to the hospital at 7 in the morning and you're still playing beats at 3, you know? Like, okay,
right.
we're going to have
right.
to come up with some different rules. But, you know, I think that it's wonderful when you can be around family, you know, and you know, have them, you know, even though it may be a little bit uncomfortable, have them support who it is and what you're doing. It's funny, I was involved in this humongous hip-hop showcase, you know, this past weekend, and my oldest daughter showed up there, and she went up to somebody, and she said, can you tell me where my mom, Susan, is? And they're like, Susan? Who's Susan? And she's like, my mom's Lady Flavor. They're like, oh, Lady Flavor, she's over there, you know. It's like, yeah, sometimes I think my kids struggle at the fact, like, everybody knows me as Lady Flavor versus, you know, who my real name. So it's like, yeah. But it's funny that you had said something in regards to, like, sacrifices and where you put your money at. And, you know, I don't know if you had ever seen my post or if you were even on my page at that point when I had posted out there something to the effect of what do you invest in yourself. And one of my artist friends from right here in Seattle posted, he says, I buy myself a pair of Jordans every month. And then later on in the same day, I said, well, who wants to get into the Woodshed Studios, which is a studio that I'm affiliated with?
Okay.
And he said, I would love to if I had the money.
Oh, wow.
And I said, you know what? If you took your Jordan money, you could get into the studio.
Yeah.
You know? And so it's just like, it's really kind of interesting to me where people place their values and priorities when it comes to being an artist, you know, what they're willing to invest in and who they're actually willing to pay. And that's why I'm really hoping that my dear friend Intellect, who's in the chat room, will call in because he's a producer. And we've had some discussions around, you know, that, and I'd love to have him share his thoughts around, you know, working with artists and all of that. But so you're willing to take money and invest, like going into the studio or in equipment or things like that. So did I hear you correctly?
Oh, yes. That's basically where most of my money went when I first started, like just constantly invest the money back into my career. Like I said, when I first started out, yes, I had the whole chain and, you know, clothing mentality and everything else like that. But as, like I said, as time progressed, you know, I started learning from not just fellow artists but also executives, you know, what needs to be most important to you. And you're going into a, you know, a business where, you know, you really do need money to make money. So, you know, I stopped investing in, you know, throwing money away on clothing and things of that nature. And I just buckled down and got myself together. I mean, a lot of people be like, you know, oh, that's difficult or, you know, whatever have you. But look at the bigger picture at the end of the day. If you took time out to really work on your craft and your art, that'll pay for itself. You know what I'm saying? Right. You'll see that money that you put out. You'll see that money and then some. I mean, I know artists right now. I know a producer right now. Actually, he's a very well-known producer. Co-signed on the beat. Half of the production group, the interns, he told me one time when I was in the studio with him, he was like, "It's not about, you know, the particular equipment or whatever you use. A producer will find a way to create an awesome track regardless of equipment or anything else of that nature." Like, it's all about how much time you're willing to spend with your craft, how much time you're willing to spend with your art. And when you know what I'm saying, you've basically taken this song or that song or the other song as far as you can take it. Now it's time to go a little higher and work a little harder on something new. So that's basically been my focus from that point on, like just having a lot of good mentors, people who taught me, you know what I'm saying, it's better to have your business and everything else together versus having, you know, a big chain or, you know, whatever have you.
Right. I can appreciate you saying that. DeCloak, I want to bring in another artist, and this is the one who had given me the subject for tonight's show. So, John D. Green, welcome to the show.
Hey, Lady Pleasant, how are you?
How you doing? I'm good. How about yourself?
I am well.
Good. So we are on the line with DeCloak, who's out of Chi-Town.
Okay. The wise one. Yeah. All right.
Well, and no, John is out of Detroit.
You,
so.
Okay.
So we were talking.
I was saying shout out to Detroit. And I'm definitely looking to get out in Detroit and do some shows.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
That's a good place to be. And a shout out to Chi-Town, my brother.
Right on.
So we were talking about the subject, John, that you had put out there about sacrificing and how far will you go to get to reach, you know, what you deem to consider success. And so DeCloak was talking about the fact that, you know, he did a lot of research, you know, stayed up late at night, you know, learned and understood the ins and outs of the business aspect along with, you know, understanding, you know, the contracts and this and that to then, instead of investing in tennis shoes and chains, you know, turning around and investing in studio time and in, you know, perfecting his craft as an artist. And so, you know, it's wonderful to hear, you know, an artist say that because, you know, there have been many times, I would imagine this happens all over, you know, the world, but I can tell you in Seattle, Washington, there are a lot of artists that do not, you know, set aside, you know, the money, you know, or even really establish win-win relationships. There are relationships that are built on kind of one-sidedness, you know, where it's like, do for me, please, you know, and, you know, maybe I'll get you on the back end type thing or whatever, and a lot of bridges are being burned that way. So now, John, you have a studio within your house?
Yes. Yes, I do.
Okay, so you don't have to necessarily go outside to a studio. You invested in the equipment to be able to
yes.
do it at home.
Piece by painstaking piece. Yeah, I invested in it. I started about 8 years ago and just the investment in equipment.
Okay.
Accumulated equipment, literally piece by piece. I mean, sometimes so painstaking as to one cord here, one microphone there, one good set of headphones here, you know, wait a few months,
mm-hmm.
eat a couple of dollars from the work check, you know, from my allotted allowance, so to speak, a mic stand here, keyboard stand there. Yeah, it was a labor intensive. It was a labor of love, though. But, yeah, I still go in my home. But I still go out to different places to master music.
Okay.
I still go to different places. I, you know, do a lot of mastering at BCO, Straight Sound Studios. I still go to places to do mastering. But I can do mastering here, but like I said, that's not my strong suit. And I like to give it to the people that's what they do. So, yeah.
Well, I would imagine that it's a good thing to give it to somebody else who has a a different ear than your own. I would imagine if you're the artist that's actually creating it, you may not be able to pick up on, you know, a tone or whatever, you know, I'm not going to use the right terminology, but, you know, pick up on how it really, really needs to sound versus, you know, a separate ear. It's kind of like when you read something of your own and then you send it to the editor or proofreader and they come up with, you know, they pick up on something, maybe the sentence wasn't done correctly or it would be more effective if you created it this way or that. I would imagine it's kind of like that. So it's good to have somebody else's ear hear your product.
You know, that again, that falls into that line of sacrifices, what you're willing to sacrifice, because almost every good artist and musician and spoken word artist and poet I know will run their material past a few people other than yourself, because you may be biased or partial to a piece that you created.
Right.
I suffer from this quite often, actually. I'll become attached to certain pieces. And, you know, in my mind, oh, this is fire. This is great. You know, this is the bomb. It's the next big hit. But you
right.
always need to run that by a few people that are unbiased, people that can give you an honest opinion based on whatever, you know, whatever
right.
the situation may be. You need that. Now, I say that's a sacrifice because the truth hurts sometimes. And believe me, the truth hurts sometimes. But you need this in order to reach that common ground, in order to reach the status quo. What you know you're doing is good. And some people determine their level of good based upon, I ain't getting nobody to listen to my stuff, and if I say it's good, it's good. But in reality,
yeah.
that doesn't make your work good. But you know what I mean. You know, bro. You know,
right.
there's people out there, it's like, yeah, I got people all the time, man. I'm really good, really. Well, how you know you're good? Because it sounds good to me. Straight up, is that it? That, yeah,
right.
I like it.
That's,
it was dope.
That's
okay.
People, if you're going to really know whether or not how good it is, I have mm-hmm. I have a few tracks that of mine that I personally myself say is, like, great. But other people will hear it, and they'll be like, man, that was dope. But by the way you spit and by the way your, you know, your vocabulary stands out, like, I expected a little more. I'd be like, you know what? I'm going to take that and I'm going to use that. And that's what I'm
yep.
using that track. I'm going to go a little further.
That was the hardest
okay.
thing for me, bro, right there. Was the hardest thing was to be able to take a criticism. Even, you know, because, you know, in our field, sometimes people give it to you raw. I mean, hell, I had some girl from some place in Africa that I can't even pronounce. She sent me a message. It had two words. She said, "You suck."
Wow.
That's the whole message, right? So I sent her a message back, and I was like, you know, I thank you for your honesty. And was there any one song, was there a song in particular that sucked, or do I just suck in general? She sent me a message back and said, listen, I was just kidding. I just wanted to see if you were really you or if you were a team of people that do your networking for you.
Oh,
yeah,
interesting.
So, you know, but I'm thinking, man, in her ear, I suck. So, and then she didn't put any particular song. So I'm listening to all of them, and I'm thinking, okay, this one kind of sucks. This is all right. This might suck a little bit. This one's all right. But, you know, and then to get the message back from her, it was a perspective. You know, it was something for me
right.
to look at. Like, you know, she took me off my square. So I ran into that, trying to be able to take a criticism and make it work for us. But if we can master
sure.
that, man, you know, there's no limits to your sound if you can master constructive criticism. But it still
exactly.
hurts, you know, a little
well,
bit.
Gentlemen, we have another caller on the line with their hand raised, so let me bring them into the conversation. Caller from the 813 area code, you're on the line with DeCloak and John D. Green and Lady Flava.
Hi, ladies. Miss LaRue.
Oh, how are you, darling?
I know, long time no hear. I'm good. How are
I'm
you?
I'm like, what area code is this?
Tampa.
So what's going on in your world?
Too much. Too much. I just, oh, my God. You have no idea. I just need a PA. I need three PAs. That's what I really need.
Yeah, I saw,
just
I
one
saw
just
you
to deal with me.
So did you... Elizabeth or Lily, what are you wanting to go by? Lisa, what are you wanting to go by?
Yeah, usually my family, my friends call me Lisa, but in the industry they know me as Lily.
Okay, so we should call you Lily?
Probably.
Okay.
I guess, because it separates everybody. And I know if you're Lisa, then you're part of my family and,
okay.
and you know, high school and back in those days. But the industry does know me as Lily.
Okay, so this is Lily LaRue from LaRue Entertainment out of Tampa, Florida. She is a management team and has, what, like five
I have, yes, I have five in my camp. Mm-hmm. Two of them
okay.
from Seattle.
So, Lily, did you by chance hear the subject of tonight's show?
No, I just, probably about maybe 5 minutes before
okay,
you
so
picked up on me.
Okay, so let me just you know, kind of read the statement. And actually, I want to ask John his thoughts of when he came up with this idea. But John had put out the subject of sacrifices. How far will you go to reach what one deems as success? And John, why don't you just kind of give us your thoughts when you wrote that?
It was basically just based on that. Like, I was reflecting, I was sitting with the wife, and we were thinking of all the sacrifices from beginning to now. I'm not sure about everyone, but when I went into this thing, I assumed there will be certain sacrifices. Okay, so be it. There are sacrifices to everything. But years later, I look back, you know, in retrospect, and I think, wow. You know, I was to the wire on this thing. I played it pretty cool. I mean, there are some things that, of course, you look back and you think, hindsight being 20/20, I could have done differently. But you make some extreme sacrifices for the sake of the love, that is the music or the spoken word or what have you. But we were thinking about that, and I thought, man, you know, this would be a good topic. Not just the fact that we make sacrifices, because everyone in the industry makes a sacrifice somewhere. But how far, how much sacrifice will you make before you either, A, make it to what you deem as success, or the alternative, before you give up? Now, me, you know, that's not an option, so I'm in it to win it. I'm all the way. But that question still lies, how far will you go? How far will you go? Now, what are you willing to sacrifice?
I've gotten to the point.
I had asked the cloak whether, you know, he was a parent or not, or had a family. And in his particular case, you know, he lives with his mother and sibling, you know. But I'll put something out there. I do know of artists that do have families, who have children. Mm-hmm. And I will be honest, they sacrifice their families and children behind their art. I'm not sure how I feel about that because children are not financially being taken care of by the father. The father's involved in these situations because every little penny the father gets goes into being an artist instead of a father. And one particular I've been watching for probably 10 years and has not financially taken care of the child. You know, so, you know, when you put that subject out there, I'm like, okay, at what point, you know, can this artist particularly turn it around and really start making some money so he can financially take care of his child and not just the mother of the child is taking care of him? Or, you know, I mean, so what are your thoughts, Elizabeth, on that, or Lily, I'm sorry.
I don't particularly get into those kind of issues really with any of my artists. Mm-hmm. I know from a standpoint of being in the industry and having, I am a single mother.
Mm-hmm.
And I do have my son and I do have my nephew I just got custody of. And,
okay.
I know with the tours coming up and the shows that are coming up, there is going to have to be a sacrifice there because they have always known me to be right here at all times.
Okay.
And for the most part, I still am. But they know that because they are older, they're both, you know, 17, And it's time, you know, it's okay now. You know, I see it as okay.
Sure.
I wasn't willing to sacrifice that back when they were young.
Okay.
So my experience, even when I was in the industry, I wasn't even a mom then. I was basically, when I was singing, I was single. I had no children. So I can't speak on it from back in those days. Not even the people in my band were, we were all single, and none of us had children. So, you know, but now, I mean, I don't get involved with my artists as far as that. Like, are you making sure that your kids are taken care of? I probably, I think, you know, on a professional level, I keep it professional. I don't dip into their personal lives like that.
Sure. No, I totally can appreciate that. I just was wondering what your thoughts, you know, were, since you are
I think they should. If they're going to be, you know, if they're going to be an artist, I mean, okay, be an artist, but at the same time, if you're not going to be in their lives, at least financially support them.
Right.
You know,
you
can't have your cake and eat it too, so to speak.
Exactly. So, John, what are your thoughts on this little scenario that I mentioned?
Wow. I actually have quite a few thoughts on that, but the sacrifices as far as the family and the wife goes, you know, allow me to be honest. Since we started our relationship, it's been built on honesty, so let me be honest.
Okay.
I have sacrificed my very family, my children, my wife, for music, but allow me to elaborate. I always provide. I've always worked. I went to school. My wife went to school. We have our careers, our occupations. I've always worked. Now, in keeping with the same tone and honesty, the sacrifice has come in where I've not slept for weeks, literally weeks, because I'll go to work because that's what I do. I go to work. I'm going to take care of mine. But then when I get in, it's straight from the job, no shower, no dinner, no, to the studio, where I would remain until the sun came up and go to work again and do that for weeks at a time. I've sacrificed outings. Hey, let's go to the, can't do it, I'm working in the studio. Hey, you want to do the one? Now, as far as family functions, where Cub Scouts, this and that, I'm there. I make it time for that, you know, every now and then, special moments with the missus, whatever. But I also have the support of my wife and children pulling with me. I mean, they're part of my team, but you already know that, Lady Flood.
Yes.
Sacrifices are real. Now, the monetary sacrifices, they haven't been so much so because everything I have will go to my family. But whatever she says, okay, this bill's taken care of, car payment's made, we're good, we're square, this is what you got left. You better believe I'm heading to Guitar Center or somewhere similar to do what I need to do for my dream. But the sacrifices are the same when it is your time or your whatever. And a lot of times, even still, my time has run out before it began because that's where I am. I hit the studio, do this, go to work, come back, hit the studio, get a call, hit another studio. So the sacrifices are there, but I am strongly against the sacrifice taking money from those that are important, because before you hit it big or had it made, they were with you. Those are the people that you take care of first and foremost. That's the blessing. And, you know, I'm a strong believer, and you don't turn your back on a blessing. That's the blessing from the Father. You know, before you had the keyboard, whatever, you had them. And if you didn't and you got them along the way, then you were even more so blessed. So I believe in taking care of your own. But outside of that, I am very strong for the sacrifice, Lady Flood. I got to say it. I've sacrificed a lot. And I will. I mean, you know, it's part of the struggle. It's part of the dream. But I won't let my family suffer.
Yeah.
For the dream.
I
will.
And I'm glad. I mean, I'm glad to, you know, have Lily on the line, you know, being a mother and a woman in this industry, you know, to get her opinion on that to you, John, you know, with your family, you know, and your wife, and just understanding the sacrifices, whether it just be time or even finances at points, you know, what that might look like. So just briefly, DeCloak, what are your thoughts on what I had just shared?
Well, you talking to me, lady? I'm I think that's when it comes to sacrifice, I'll put it to you this way. Now I am starting to sacrifice because being a single mom, not all my artists pay their dues because I know they have families to take care of. So that means I have to sacrifice, okay? The payments don't come in. Most of them, you know, can't afford it anyway because they already have families. But at the same time, that takes away from mine. But I'm still kicking in that work. I'm still calling overseas. I'm still running up my phone bill, calling Germany, calling London, calling Japan. So, you know, there's a lot of sacrifice, not just financially for, you know, mouths that I have to feed that aren't even mine, you know, but time as well. Now, as you notice on my Facebook page, every Friday I shut shop down at 12 o'clock. Because I know I have to, I make it automatic that I'm going to the football team dinner. I'm going to feed the whole football team. Okay, I step out of this, you know, Lady Pitbull boss role into the football mom role, and he has my afternoon all the way up to midnight until the game is over. So he knows that, you know, even though mom works, and I work till 2 or 3 o'clock a.m. Eastern time, you know, I have to wait till London is up and hits me back. So I'm dog tired. I might get 3 hours sleep, but to make sure that I'm up and get my boys fed and get them out the door, you know, these are the sacrifices that I have to make along with being financial, you know, responsible totally and trying to take care of everything. That's probably the biggest part. So, but I agree. I think, you know, artists should be held, you know, they should be responsible, and it shouldn't always be about, you know, getting into the studio, because if you know your son needs a pair of shoes and he's worn a hole in them, that should be your first and foremost thought, is to get that kid a pair of shoes, not trying to record another track.
Right.
Detract your weight.
Well, I appreciate you saying that, just because, you know, I think people don't really realize this. I sit back and watch people a lot. You know, it is amazing what you see posted on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, and especially here in Seattle, now that I'm starting to make myself known, you know, getting to meet people in person and stuff like that, it's like, you know, it makes me think. So, before I go any further, so to close, do you know anybody who's in this particular situation, or do you have an opinion?
Yeah, I have an opinion on it. I mean, granted, there will be sacrifices to be made when it comes to having a family, you know, kids and everything else like that when going into the music business. And, of course, yes, they need your attention just as much as your art, your business needs your attention. I agree with both points on both of the brothers and the sisters' opinions. Like, I agree with both. But at the same time, you know, like my brother said, that there will be sacrifices. There will be late nights to where, you know, you're just putting the kids to bed and then you're off to the lab again, or you're putting them to bed and you're, you know, you catching a plane out to do what you got to do. Me, basically, in this situation, I would honestly say at this point, if I did have any kids right now, you know, for as far as me, you know, my wife and kids are concerned, honestly, I would love to do what Pun did back in the day, which was have them with him, you know, get them tutored, get the kids so they, you know, keep up with their schoolwork and everything. But at the same time, I would love to have my family there with me. You know, I know they can't just uproot with me and get ready, but I would still, you know, after they taking care of their week or whatever, and I might be in, you know, Japan, Germany, or wherever, you know, I'd send for them. You know what I'm saying? That's just me personally, though. Like, I don't know if anybody else would, but I know I would.
That is the ideal situation. It is the ideal situation to have your family with you when you are on the road. But in these days, you know, in this day, and in this recession, who can actually, exactly. Like, my review that's coming up in January, the International Jump Off. My artists, as you know, Lady Flavor, is spread out throughout the country.
Right.
I got two in Seattle. I got one in Las Vegas. I got one in Charlotte, North Carolina. And I have another group that is a foursome out of Baltimore. And two of these acts aren't going to make it.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because there's more of them. There's more equipment that has to come. They're not solo artists. You know, they're not MCs. These are R&B bands.
Right.
And they have family. So for me to ask them to come to my review, where I have two international promoters coming in from overseas for this. I have A&R, major A&R labels from Sony that are coming in to look at this. This is a huge opportunity, but I have to understand that is a huge sacrifice, because this is not a headliner show. This is my show. This is my review of the camp. But the opportunity for bigger success lies there. So you just have to pose the question to them. Are you willing to give up your family time for that three-day weekend to showcase you, your talent, your band, for a signing contract with Sony or an international tour in Germany? And a lot of the times it's like, you know, wow. Yeah, I wish I could. It's a hard one. And that's where the test is. You know, when you tell me, look, you're not getting paid for this, but trust and believe the reward is there, because there's only five of y'all hitting that stage.
Mm-hmm.
And out of that five, somebody is going to walk away with a huge contract and a tour. So take your pick. Either you stay with your family or you stay here. But I leave that up to them. I don't make it, like I told them, I don't make it mandatory, because it is on your dime. You will have to fly yourself out here. You will have to pay for your hotel room, because it's not in my city. I'm hosting through another city and two other record labels. So it's a huge sacrifice, you know, and that's their test. But at the same time, it's like, you know, what can you possibly say? They're not willing to sacrifice that family time and that dollar, you know. So
you already have the A&R people there. They'll already be in attendance to see these artists.
Yes.
Oh, that's a no-brainer. I mean, this is Big John D. Green Sr. from Detroit. That's a no-brainer. Okay, you already did the legwork. Basically, all they have to do is go and show their wares. Pretty much, am
I correct? Exactly. Exactly.
Okay. Hey, you're close. What do you think?
Yeah, that's the same thing I say. Like, you know, if you've already done the legwork, all they have to do is show up.
Exactly.
That's all they had to show up.
But to them, it's a sacrifice. To them, it's, you know, we're talking a good $1,000 weekend between flight tickets and everything else. But these groups have families and they have equipment. So it's like, you know, do they want to put in that expense? And maybe they're not good enough, because they look at the camp that they're in.
Right.
And I say, you know, damn, you know, look what we, you know, it's pretty much the review. Yeah, they're going to review the whole camp, but only maybe one, maybe two out of those are going to walk home with, you know.
Contract.
Something really major.
But the eyes, see, that's the thing. That goes back to what we were saying a few shows back, if you listen to the archive. Sometimes exposure is worth more than gold.
That's
exposure
true.
Is everything. Exposure, it's just like this brother's on here now. He sent a message to Lady Flavor and told her he was going to the lab. The word lab struck me, so I pulled him up. You see what I mean by exposure? One message on a link of messages with many different artists talking on different topics. He said a few things, and I thought, let me check this cat out. That was his exposure. He didn't have to bust a rhyme. He didn't have to play a note. It was just in a way he worded something he wrote. But that made me think, man, let me check this cat out, man. He got something going on upstairs. I'm going to take a look inside of this guy's mind for a minute. Let me see who he is, what he's working with. So I came into this meeting tonight knowing that this brother will probably be on the line with him. Those guys really need to seriously think about am I good enough to where if someone hears something that I do, they may remember me for something later? Sometimes the reward is not instantaneous. I love instant gratification. Who doesn't? I mean, there's a bit of hedonist in all of us. But the truth right. is sometimes it's not instant. Sometimes people hear you now, blow it off, dismiss it, 6, 7 months, 2, 3 years. Since, hey, you remember that cat from Chi-Town? Yeah, he's a tight, man. Let's find him. Get in contact with that brother. You should sit him down and be like, y'all might want to think about that. Sit him down and be like, y'all cats might want to think about this. Yeah, the money, there ain't no loot there, whatever, but unless they're making grandiose money here right now, an opportunity is an opportunity. And some opportunities in our line of work with the windows that we have for success, sometimes some things are too good to pass up.
I mean, yeah, it some opportunities are, you know, but like I say, I don't put that, you know, as a mandatory thing that they show up for this review. They are all headliners inside my camp. Nobody just opens and nobody just closes. When this tour jumps off in May in London, these are headliner shows. You know, my artists are headlining their own concerts. So this is, you know, that is huge in itself. So I guess in their mind, maybe it's okay to just let this ride because they're going to get theirs 5 or 6 months down the line when they hit overseas.
Right.
Well,
you know,
it's
not just the American U.S. labels that are looking at them, you know, because the U.K. has fabulous labels and they're you know, their pound is a whole lot stronger than our dollar.
Yeah.
So the money is there.
And they look at artists totally different in Europe.
Yes, they do.
You're loved long, and their loyalty is different over there. You know, we come and go. Fashions and fads come and go. You know, you might hear a guy today, and he's hot. Next week, he might be like, he's all right. You know, he was what he was, but he wasn't all that. But over there, their loyalty seemed to be different. They hear things different. They listen to the music. They're not scrutinizing, you know, this guy. Drives this and that. It's all about the music, it seems, in Europe. So, I don't know, that's pretty exciting. You got some exciting things going on in your camp.
I do. I know, and I have people beating down my door, but it's like, you know, I mean, even for the review, I've had people, you know, literally try to buy their way, you know, onto the stage, and it's like, you know, come on, this is my review. These are strictly for my artists that are signed underneath my management. This is my thing, my show. And they've really, really worked hard for this, to hit that stage, to be in front of these people that I know. So, you know, to try to put this together, it wasn't easy. It took 3 record labels and an entertainment company besides myself to, you know, really make this a success, and it's going to be. You know, but I had to put in all the legwork, and it's paying off. It's going to pay off. It's going to pay off for one of them, and it's just, you know, it's sad, but at the same time, it's like, you know what, this is not your one and only shot, because we got a whole year to do this.
Definitely. Well, and I think the one thing to really, you know, to also take into consideration, It may not be that if they could financially do it, you know, I think that would be a no-brainer. It would happen. But
right. I think the finances
have a family,
now, you know, everybody's got to sacrifice.
The finances, I think, play a big, big part that they may not be able to come up with
the
money.
It really does.
So I do want to apologize to Intellect. He had tried to call in, and I'm sorry, darling, that I didn't catch you in time. So if you want to call back, I definitely will pick up the line. We do have another caller, so let me click on their line. Caller from the 206 area code, you're on the air of the Artist Roundtable.
How you doing, Flavor? This is Swift Tongues.
Hey, Swift Tongues. How are you, darling?
I'm great. I've been listening for like the last 30 minutes as I cook dinner for the kids, you know, sacrifices. So that's the part that was kind of intriguing to me, and I wanted to talk a little bit about how I use it more of a building experience than a sacrifice, you know. Like, I got in today, and my sons were like, you know, Dad, you know, we're number 2 on Reverb Nation now, or, you know, they pretty much stay all, up to date on it themselves. One of them is going to be 13 in December, and the other one is 11, you know. So this is an opportunity for us to stand out and actually talk about it. And their marketing skills are like crazy, like very familiar with the internet, constantly thinking up new ways to get me out there. And we sit down at the dinner table and discuss it, you know, along with school and whatever the topic may be at that time.
Well, I think that's amazing. And when you get to the point of having children, just like Lily LaRue, to have a child and a nephew that's of age of understanding what it is that you're doing and actually can play a role in it, I think that's amazing. I think for me, you know, just to speak on my own experience, you know, my kids go back and forth. They're all adults. My youngest is 23. Mm-hmm. You know, but I think they go back and forth like, okay, are you Susan or are you Lady Flava? You know, and sometimes I think they really wish that I was more Susan than I was Lady Flava, you know. Mm-hmm. But even at that, you know, my own kids, you know, push it out when I'm doing events or I'm involved in something like Dolphin Forum. You know, my daughters were there and stuff. And so, you know, would I consider making sacrifices because my children are adults? I think even at that, there are points when they may feel like, you know, I'm sacrificing them, you know, even though they're adults, you know. Mm-hmm. And but I think it's wonderful that, you know, your children are involved and they know where Dad's standing when it comes to, you know, the charts on Reverb Nation and stuff like that. And before I go any further, I know I say this every time, Swift Tongues, but Swift Tongues has got the best press kit out of anybody I have ever seen in the years I've worked with artists. So
thank you. I super appreciate it.
If you want to see a top-notch press kit, Swift Tongues has got it. And I have to say another thing. I am so sad I didn't get to meet you.
Yeah, I was in there. I probably was in there for maybe about an hour, but I loved what you guys were doing and the fact that the children were there as well. And I mean the material that was delivered was child friendly. So I was real disappointed that I had to leave. I had a couple songs that were more hip hop based that I was excited to do, you know, most of the time in the club.
Right.
It's not what I get a
I understood that Tamiko, you know, had more pull than I did. No, I'm just kidding.
No, it's actually, Isis is actually like a childhood friend. I call her my sister. I've been with her since like we were 11 years old. So it was like I owed her, you know.
I understand. It's okay. I should have had a flag and waved it up in the balcony and said, this is where I am, Lady Flava's up here, so if you want to meet me, come up. I mean, I had several people come up and introduce themselves.
Mm-hmm.
But when Jace told me today Swift Tongues was there, I'm like, dang, that is not even right. I didn't even get to meet you.
We'll
this is somebody I've been wanting to meet. You know, this is an artist here in the Pacific Northwest that I have been wanting to meet because I think that he's really doing an amazing job. He's got some great videos on YouTube. You know, I don't know why I'm not invited to be in any of the videos, but, you know, hey, whatever.
I'm actually working on, I just wrote a script to the last MC one, which is going to be real hip-hop based, and it's going to be present, future, and past all in one video. So I'll definitely let you know when we shoot that one. It's more of a short film. You know, I like to do the short film type thing. So
I guess he felt like he needed an old lady in that one, huh?
Oh, no, not at all. I just think that it's more friendly with the hip-hop vibe, you know?
Okay, so I'm just going to tell a funny story. I'm just going to tell a funny story because, you know, what the heck. You know, this has nothing to do with, you know, what we're talking about. But when at the end of the night at Dope Emporium, it's like 1:30 in the morning because the performances actually went to 1 or 1:30. I'm standing outside with Guyton Tolliver Toxic, you know, the pie man, pie guy or whatever, talking to him. And it turned out like this guy standing next to him is one of his partners that he works with or whatever. And he's like, well, who are you? And I said, I'm Lady Flava. And he's like, you're who? I said, I'm Lady Flava. And he goes, really? So I turned to him, I said, I know you think I'm just some old white lady, huh? And he started laughing. I said, tell the truth. just tell the truth. We can keep it real here. I said, you just thought I was some old white lady. How could Lady Flava be an old white lady, huh?
Mm-hmm.
First of all, I'm not white. So I wasn't sure how to take that swift tongue when you said, you know, the past, present, and future, you know, whatever.
Oh, no, I meant the actual idea of the video. Because what happens in the video is, like, it starts where my kids walk into the library, they're doing a research on hip-hop. So then they actually get consumed by the book, and then they go into the future when hip-hop is, like, almost non-existent. And I'm an old man telling them the story of hip-hop. Then it fades back into a little later than the present, where
mm-hmm.
I'm actually performing and, you know. So it tells the story of me saying that I'm the last MC. It's the last MC song. I think I actually sent it to you when I first did it.
Yeah, I do play. I play that on my show.
Yeah, so that's the one we're going to do the video for next.
Okay. Okay. You know, I don't know why I couldn't have been like Miss Tootsie or something, you know, not that I can sing or anything. So we just want to clown you. That's all right. But I do, you know, Swift Hung has a performance tonight at Club Broadway in Everett, and then tomorrow night at Colvay's in Soto District. So
wow.
I'm hoping, you know, hey, one of these, maybe tomorrow night I'll be able to get down and actually meet you in person.
I would love to see.
But I don't know whether you would be okay with me sharing a story that you had shared with me in a message about,
oh.
you know, the financial things that you're having to put out for these events that you are performing at.
Most definitely. I would love to open up the floor to that.
I think that, you know, this is one of the things that we talk about a lot. You know, at what point do the artists get to make some money? And, you know, he was talking about the fact of, you know, having to put out money to the bar for all these venues that he's been performing at lately. And he's been performing a lot. You know, but before I go any further, let me just click on this other line and bring Intellect in. Intellect, you're on the air on the Artist Roundtable.
Hey, now. How you
hey,
doing?
Thank you so much for calling in.
Thanks
so,
for having
so Intellect. Intellect is one of is another artist, hip hop artist out of Seattle, and a producer. And so I had wanted him also to call in and participate in this because, you know, one of the concerns too is around as a producer, you know, getting paid, you know, for what you're doing for artists. So we can go back to Swift Tongues and, you know. And discuss what it is that, you know, his frustrations are around putting or participating in the events and money having to be put out.
Most definitely. So I figure on each event I'm spending at least, each time I do a show, at least $100. I have to go buy a new shirt, hoodie, whatever the case may be. And then the bar money, I spend the money on the bar. And then the people that are coming with me and not including in this $100 and I'm spending each pop, they're having to pay to get in as well. So a lot of times, like I ran into a situation, I think it was last week, where I was actually supposed to do the show. I didn't find out until the day before the show. So I'm like, okay. And probably about 2 hours before the show, I send the promoter a text, and I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have about 5 people with me. Okay, well, you're not going to have to pay, but the 5 people that come with you are going to have to pay. And I'm like, well, hold on a minute. I'm coming into this venue doing a show for your crowd. I'm not charging anything. I'm not making anything off of that. I'm going to have to spend money at the bar, and you want my 5 people, the guests that I have with me, to pay entrance fee. I'm like, that's not feasible. So for the first time, I sat back and I said, hey, you know what? I'm not going to be able to do this show. It's not going to be something that's doable for me. And it's not the money. It's the principle, you know. We're out here trying to do the same thing that you're trying to do, create a name. And the promoters in the Washington area are prospering financially. However, very few of the artists are.
Wow.
Club promoters.
So does anybody else have thoughts around that?
Well, my thought is around that is, and not to diss my local promoters up here, but I stopped doing the local shows a long time ago simply because of the fact that the promoters and the clubs make the money. The artists really don't get any funds
concerning their time spent promoting and everything else of this nature. Actually, I've gotten to the point where I charge people to promote their events now. You want me on stage, you got to pay.
Yeah, and that totally makes sense.
And, you know, and who was I talking to the other day? But, you know, that's one of the things that I'm kind of curious about, you know, in our hometown, you know, there are a lot of promoters out there and people putting on showcases. Now, I will be honest with Tongues and Intellect. I think there are some people putting on what I would call hip-hop open mics. And when I say hip-hop open mics, they're not done well. Mm-hmm. You know, they're just, you know, somebody throwing on what they call a showcase and, you know, people coming out to perform, but there's no format to it and the talents, the quality's not there, you know. Mm-hmm. But then there are people who are putting on showcases with some great, great talent that are not selling out shows. You know, which I think is something that I don't understand here either, how they're not selling out shows. So I'm kind of curious as to who's actually making the money, you know, on showcases. Are the promoters, you know, making the money? Because it's really rare that I hear that an artist is getting paid.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, what that looks like. But in my opinion, I think that if you're a quality artist, you're a headliner, depending on what the event is for, and if money is being made, I think that money needs to be shared.
Exactly. And I totally agree. And it is the promoters. The promoters are the one making the money. And understand, too, that some of them are in it for the money. So when they're booking certain artists, and we talk about talent level, it could be behind the following that artist is going to bring, and not necessarily the talent level. When I say following, I mean their friends, or whatever the case may be, not necessarily people that really love hip-hop or love music, just the people that are there to support that person. So I think that's where we run into a problem with the talent level. I've been to a lot of hip-hop shows or open mics where the talent level definitely isn't there, but I don't think that they're looking at it for the purpose of talent level. They just want to do something to make a quick buck. I mean, they're promoters, so majority of the time that's what they're in it for, is to profit off of their promotions, you know, instead of actually bringing quality to the Pacific Northwest.
But, Lady, can I interject here for a minute?
Yeah, go ahead, Lily.
Okay. Being in owning my entertainment company, I'm not sure that I totally agree with any of what the guys are saying, because I do have a major showcase coming up. We do have one in Philly. We also have one in Miami, South Beach, coming up in August. The money that we make putting on these showcases has to be put out, because the judges that we bring in, the judges that we bring in, the A&Rs, we're responsible for flying them, paying for their hotel and their time spent sitting at that table, all for these artists to have a chance, you know, to perform for them. And one of them only walks home with the prize. If you got a panel that you have to take care of, like say I picked up a celebrity from an old school hip hop celebrity, okay, that's a Hall of Famer, a bona fide Hall of Famer. His fee alone was $2,500. That wasn't including the two round trip tickets for him and his girlfriend, and the hotel fee, and the money, and meals. This is what we put up with.
Well,
right.
To get these people in here, you know what I'm saying, to judge. So, plus the production crew has to be paid, because these people don't work for free. You know,
well, and I think Lily, what it is that you're doing is something very different than what, you know, we're talking about.
Exactly.
I think your showcase serves a futuristic purpose for the artist. You know?
Always,
so
because you have to be. I mean, what's the
right?
Because if you're going to have a showcase, this is, you know, this is what it's for. But we don't charge them an arm and a leg unless we have Def Jam, Ali Records coming in. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
that's looking at time, or Sony coming in. These are people that we know that are coming in, that somebody is going to walk away. And a lot of the times we put out the money out of our own pockets, and sometimes we might even walk away. It's not really going to make us money. We might walk away with like $100. But at the end of the day, you know what? We further somebody's career. We probably don't even know them. But at the same time, before these people hit that stage, we come up with like maybe a 20 acts, maybe 15 acts. Okay, they get a 3-song set. That's it. But they are screened first. It's not like, you sign up, you pay your money, you hit the stage. If that's the case, then you got 50 damn 60 acts trying to hit the stage.
Exactly.
You know, that's where you come in, that your quality of performances and your quality of artists, that's where it starts lacking. That's when, you know it's about the greed and it's about the money. It's not about the artist, because any artist that hits our stage and our showcases first have to go through a screening process. They are hand-picked. If you don't make the cut, you just don't make the cut, and we're not worried about your money.
Right. See, the thing here, though, is, Lily, it's different. It's completely different. And when we say open mics, we're talking Tuesday or Wednesday or something that would normally be an off night. So what the promoters do is they try to bring in local acts, because they're not going to make any money if they don't try to bring in local acts. It's not lively in Seattle. It's not lively in Washington on those off days. So what happens then is they call up 10, 15 acts. They bring them all in. They charge the people that they're with money to come in and perform. And that's how they're able to make their money, pay a little bit of money to the DJ, et cetera. So in your circumstance, in your case where you guys are actually working for the artist, it completely differs from what's happening out here in Seattle. Completely different.
If the artists go in and there's an understanding, like you, Lily, being a manager and having an entertainment company, there's a purpose to what you're doing. So I totally get why artists wouldn't be getting paid, but here in Seattle, when there is showcases being put together to, to headline, certain artists or whatever. For instance, if it's Swift Tongues and LaRue and Mike Mack in Harlem or whatever, doing a showcase, and they're charging $10, $15 at the door. Whatever the agreement is with the venue, whether they split, do a split at the door, if the venue gets the bar, whatever the understanding is. In my opinion, if it's a quality showcase and the acts are quality, this is just my personal opinion, those acts deserve to get paid. If they're bringing in the people, I believe that the promotion team deserves to get paid too, but I believe that the artist also, deserve to walk away with making money. I think that at some point the art has to stop being given away for free, and that with the artists that have put in their time and due diligence, there is a point that they deserve to get paid. And then in them financially getting paid, then it helps them take it to the next level. It helps them be able to pay for the studio time or to have their music mastered or whatever it is. There's so many artists that are, even like authors, giving their books away free or CDs away free or 50 people on their VIP list to get into a showcase because they want to make sure that the venue is full. And at some point, I believe
that's insane to do something like that, because I've heard Nightmare, like one of my artists that are inside my camp before, he got signed to me. He hosted a showcase, and he said that the promoter that put this showcase on, he had so many acts that he signed up. They were there till 4 in the morning.
Wow.
Literally 4 o'clock in the morning, still listening to people, and it was insane. And I'm like, are you serious? I've never heard of anything like that. It's like, what are you running here? A puppy mill or something? It is insane. And I'm like, who's getting paid?
Exactly.
Where was this at? And are you kidding me? I don't involve myself with those type of people, and I keep it tight, I have to keep it tight because, like I think we talked about before, my family name is in this business worldwide, right, has been here for generations. This is, you know, I have to keep it clean. My family has to keep it clean. Anything that we do has to be straight up on the up and up, because word of mouth does travel fast, especially in this industry.
Exactly. And you know, I'm really, really big on my name too, Lily, so I totally feel you on that. I want to bring in another caller. He's been on hold for quite a while. So, DJ Madhouse, you are on the Artist Roundtable, and thank you so much for your patience.
Well, thank you for having me over tonight. How are you guys doing?
Yeah.
Good.
I've been listening
Yeah, so I was just going to say, you know, what are your thoughts on what you've been hearing so far?
Very interesting conversation. Very interesting, to say the most. I'm listening to a lot. There's a few things I want to cover real quickly. These showcases for hip-hop and stuff like that, I think is great, especially for the up-and-coming artists that are trying to put their name out there and things of that nature. But a lot of club owners already know the game. They know as far as who is charging to be on that stage. They already know pretty much everything that goes on, so they can care less. So I found myself being very successful having shows similar to what you guys are doing until they got kind of out of hand. Not on my half, but you know how it is. You know, these lyrics have strong meanings behind it. You know, do what you do, but watch my shoes, things of that nature. You know what I'm saying? And
right,
people don't know how to act in a venue like that. But not to get away from my point, most successful promoters who promote shows like that go out and get sponsors, okay? And they already know, because the owner already knows, you're not going to make a lot of money on the door, especially on an off night like the gentleman was saying earlier. And the best way to do that, I'm just going to put some money back in you guys' pocket, you know what I'm saying, because someone showed me the game, and now it's time for me to pass it on. Because you can't make money out there if no one's showing you how to do it, okay?
Sure.
The best way to do those events that you're trying to do is to have a special event, battle of the whatever, such as so-and-so and so-and-so. Like the young lady was saying, she had different A&Rs come in and this and that, and she's right. You have to pay these people. You got to get them a perm day. Got to get them in the room and all this other kind of stuff, and whoever the entourage of people they bring in with them. However, we discuss all that before we even say, okay, here's your contract, here's where you sign it, blah, blah, blah. That way we already know. That way it won't be a shocker. Now, how I found myself being successful at that was doing sponsors. Because I'm going to make the majority of my money off sponsors. I don't know about you guys, but I can call up 25 people right now that will give me $150 just to come sit in on one of my events. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
And we'll put them up there and say, okay, you're the sponsor. You're one of our sponsors. And we got 9 sponsors. Okay? You're going to go on 5,000 flyers, which out of pocket for me is $150. I'll get $75 back from the owner of the club. He's going to give me $75. Mm-hmm. And if I write in my contract that I can guarantee it in writing that we can bring in X amount of people, and I'm hoping that he'll agree, if he breaks over 1,500, I'll get a small percentage of that. I don't go that route no more because it's extremely hard to do that. Get your sponsors and have them people come in, get them free tickets and this and that. Then once you do your calculations, you can easily break $22 or $2,100 at the bar. Then you can renegotiate with the owner. I do that up front before that even happens. That way I can get 25% off the top. Now, in closing, what I wanted to say to you guys, and I think what you guys are doing is a very, very good thing, and it's extremely hard to do, but I would like to see an artist step up, especially hip-hop, step up and tell the truth. Let's talk about how difficult it is out there. Let's talk about why we call our women certain names that I won't say over the air. Let's talk about do what you do but watch my shoe. That really means something. As a DJ producer, I'm told before I even start my set, hey, man, you can't play this, you can't play that, you can't play this, you can't play that. So you know what I did? I changed my whole genre. I moved away from the hip-hop scene because Don't get me wrong. It's my culture. It's where I come from. However, I don't want to be chased home by bullets. I don't want to be ducking and dodging in nobody's club. And I just want one artist to step up and tell the truth.
That's quite a few that they just don't get noticed. A lot of artists, not only independent artists or underground artists, but a lot of major artists that actually do step up and tell the truth. They're looked at as, you know, they're scrutinizing, or, you know, they're pulling down their fellow artists. But honestly, from my standpoint, I'm on the same plateau as you on, my brother. I'm looking for people who are going to stand up and stand up against the ignorance that we have inside of our own culture. Tell these people, man, look, that is not hip-hop, fam.
Let me ask you this, guy. And I want to ask the young lady as well. I think they call her Lily.
Mm-hmm.
I want to ask you this. I don't know about you all. I was there. How did you all feel when you all seen Kanye West on the red carpet? Not the white carpet, not on concrete, but he was on the red carpet with his beautiful girlfriend throwing back a 1.75 liter of Henno. How did that make you feel as an artist?
I thought it was tacky.
Wow.
Extremely tacky.
Right, extremely. And I'm born and raised in Chicago. We know Kanye. I've seen Kanye did not live in the hood. Let's get it straight.
No, he didn't.
I'm from Chicago, Illinois. I graduated from Gordon Tech University. I went to Hyde Park Community High School, and I lived in Jeffrey Manor. And
I
knew Kanye. In fact, I knew his mom. His mom used to teach over at Chicago State University, one of the most respected professors in the whole state of Illinois. And he didn't come from an impoverished background. He actually was middle class, or should I say upper middle class, because back in the day there was a such thing as upper middle class. And I don't know what happened to Kanye. In fact, you know what? Y'all may not know this, but this is the truth. Kanye can't even come back to Chicago without something happening to him, because he has gotten up in the game so tough. I don't like the way he played Taylor. You dig what I'm saying? Because there's a time and a place for everything. And you have to remember, as a color of people, us, we are watched. I don't care what race of people are watching us, but we are watched. So we are closely scrutinized all the time. And at one point, when will we stand up and do the right thing? I want somebody to answer that.
Well, I don't listen to Kanye, period. I'm not a fan of his at all, whether he's hip-hop or not. You ain't never seen me post a YouTube video of Kanye ever. Mm. It ain't getting ready to happen. I ain't like him before that Taylor incident, and I don't like him afterwards.
Okay.
I don't like him, period. If I call it spade a spade.
Do y'all know the story? Do y'all know that Kanye West, this is from DJ Madhouse, I have no problem saying it. I'm an internationally known DJ. A lot of people know me. But Kanye West was responsible for a common getting robbed, put in his back. They stripped him butt naked, 20 below zero in Chicago. Beat the boy with pistols and everything. Y'all heard about that?
Yeah, I heard about
it. No, I didn't.
It was street talk, so I heard about it.
Yeah. Yes, sir. You know what I'm saying? I mean, and what's sad about it, it was his own brothers that did it.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
Mostly, I don't listen to Kanye. I call a spade, and that's just that. I'm not a fan of his music either, so I'm not on that bandwagon, and I can't speak on it because I don't listen to him.
Right.
I turn the TV off, and I will turn my channel.
Okay.
I'm going to say this about Kanye.
My phone. I'm still working here.
as far as Kanye goes, only thing I can say about Kanye that I've ever been able to say about him is that he's a very good artist. But the thing is, the biggest problem about Kanye, and I'm pretty sure everybody can attest to this, Kanye has always been caught up in being in the in crowd. Always. He's always wanted power. For him, you know, he loves music. He does love music, but he's more concentrated on being a powerhouse rather than being an artist. You know what I'm saying? That's his biggest problem. So he aligns himself with whoever is in power at that time, which is his biggest issue.
I don't know. He was always ignorant before he had to be ignorant before he got this fame,
right.
And he's even more ignorant with it now. Mm-hmm. So, like I said, you know, I don't. That's the difference in my camp. You know, even though they're going to be rising to the top, and everybody that I try to bring along with me, my main thing is you got to stay grounded. You got to stay humble because your projection of what you put out there is going to stay with you. Because I look at somebody like him, and I'd be like, you know, I don't even want to listen to him. I don't care if he got a number one record or out or not. I'm not playing it. I don't like it, and I don't like him. And I won't even have none of my artists open or close for him.
Well,
absolutely
I heard you not. Mention. I heard you mention earlier today that you have a production company, right?
I have an entertainment company.
Okay.
Have a good night.
Okay, and a lot of these young artists that are out there listening, and I hope they be wise enough to even, you know, tune in to this lady's show again. Hopefully she'll have another show similar to this. But how important it, and this is for all the artists on this panel right now, how important is it to be professional? And let me break it down, okay, because I've had people in the green room. You know, I brought my little cousin JoJo and his little sister Fufu Mumu, and you know, somebody in the background rolling a green leaf, and somebody over there getting, you know, some oral sex done to him. You know, I've had to shut it down. I've had to kick people out of my, you know, I don't even, you know, we don't even do that no more. If you need DJ the Madhouse to master music for you, if you need me to come in and do production stuff from you, call me to come to your studio because you won't be over here. And I don't mean to be like that, because when I go over to Rotterdam or when I go over to England, I don't have those problems. You
mm-hmm.
get what I'm saying? Not have those problems. But,
mm-hmm.
Oh my God! I had a guy tell me, "Oh, hold on for a minute, man. Let me get my voice together." And he goes, "We in the middle of the beat." He said, "Oh, hold on, can you stop that for a minute? Let me go back and cell phone ringing. Momo Fufu over there rolling up birds. And, you know, I mean." How professional, I mean, how important is it to be professional? I'll let anybody answer that.
Well, okay, it's extremely to be professional, but at the same time, there's a human factor to it because anybody that knows me and knows me on Facebook, okay, one of my favorite things is to, you know, everybody is, you know, how you doing, love? You know, and I've had an artist that was trying to come into my camp and trying to get signed to my entertainment company, and basically came out and told me, you know, I appreciate if you try to keep this business-like. And I said, did you not just beep into and request me, and then you're going to tell me how to act with you? Okay, well, guess what? Number one, you don't try to bite the hand that feeds you. I am being professional with you, but at the same time, there is a personal factor to this. You can't always be very standoffish, especially when it comes to, because I would tell them, you know, my artists, you may think I work for you, but actually you work for me.
Mm.
You do work for me. Trust and believe that, because I am the one with the connections. I am the one that's going to get you signed and get you to where you need to be. And you're going to follow my lead. I don't follow yours. You follow mine. So who's working for who here? So you can't come at me, you know, being with a standoffish attitude. Yes, we could be professional. I'm professional in the boardroom. I'm professional at the table. I will bite you in the face at the table when it comes to my contracts and my people. Let's not get that twisted. But out here on Facebook, it thinks sometimes, you know, people take that a little bit too seriously. This is Facebook. This is not the boardroom. This is not the studio. These are none of these things. This is not a sit-down. It is Facebook.
But for some people, that's all they have. I've had people tell me, oh, yeah, my website is www.facebook.com/. Dude, that's not a website.
Exactly. You know, but there's a human factor to all this. You know what I'm saying? There's a human factor. Like, we're on the phone right now. We're not always, you know, yes, ma'am, no, sir, yes, sir. This is not how we roll. You know, there's a human factor to all this. You know, you got to be approachable. You have to be approachable. Otherwise, you draw more bees with honey, and that is so true in this business.
Well, I'm glad you said that, because I have a gentleman listening in, and I was telling him how it's important for you to be professional and approachable. I just think, you know, in this business that we're in, it's extremely important that we let our youth know how important it is to be professional and stand up.
Exactly.
Okay, because, you know, I like Lil Wayne. Don't get me wrong. I like Lil Wayne. I like him. I like the cat. You know what I'm saying? I don't know if I can listen to it for
on
about
what level?
20 minutes.
Can I ask you on what level?
Well, he's an artist. And
okay.
as being an artist, I have to allow myself to be open-minded to say I like some of the stuff that he do, because some of the stuff that he has done I can relate to. However, here we go. You won't ever see me come on the stage doing a live performance with a styrofoam cup. If I'm going to have a cup, it's going to be crystal, and it won't be styrofoam. It's not gonna have my name embroidered.
I hear that.
In fact, I'm gonna be professional enough not to even bring a cup.
Thank
to the
you.
Club. Because I'm gonna do all that in the limousine or in my hotel room or when I get back at home. Because I'm professional enough to do that. In fact, I want to be sound-minded when I do my thing, because I don't know about you guys, but I have been in a live performance before and forgot what I was supposed to do. So I had to crack a joke to get back on point. You know what I'm saying? Maybe, I don't know if it's age or not. I don't know if it's the time zones or whatever and this and that. But, you know, it's so important. It really is so important that us as artists show, or should I say, when we're about to pass the torch on, we need to show these kids why we're doing it. Here's the reason why. And I brought up Lil Wayne to say this here. I don't know about you guys. I do a lot of remixing, a lot of remix music, okay? I can't remix Lil Wayne stuff. Give me some Diana Ross, some Teddy Pendergrass, or, you know, some old school stuff. I can remix that. Lil Wayne, you won't be able to remix his music 10 years from now. Trust me.
Right.
You won't.
You won't be. I mean, if you get a sample, he's gonna be saying, and that's it.
I just want to let.
That's why I just ask on what level, because I just don't. Well, see, I'm very picky when it comes to. I'm not gonna celebrate everybody that's out here on the airwaves. I'm not doing it. I don't even like Nicki Minaj, because everybody, you know, she is on everybody's bandwagon. I'm like, I will be the first one to tell you. I do not get down with Bubble Butt. I don't. Where did she come from? What dues has she paid? You know, she's very articulate on the stage when she's talking English, but what is her craft for real? Where did she come from? I don't celebrate her. I don't listen to her music. I'm like, why is she
but
on everybody's record?
Do you know the ideology? A lot of people really think. And I hate to say this, man. I really hate to say this, but I'm gonna keep it real. A lot of people really think that a lot of black folks act like that, and we live this lifestyle. You know what I'm saying? Believe me when I'm the only black person to live on my block. I hate to go there, but I'm gonna go there because, you know, when I first moved over here, I had folk looking at me like I was gonna have a blunt party and 40-ounce parties. You know what I'm saying? And
where is it that you live, DJ Madhouse?
I'm in a little bitty town outside of Houston, about 5 minutes, called Cypress, Texas.
Okay. So you're in Texas, okay?
Yeah. Well, I'm from Chicago, but I live in Detroit. I live in Texas. And I live in Atlanta, downtown Atlanta. I have three places.
Okay.
So I get around a lot.
Okay, I have a house in Atlanta, too. I moved from there.
I'm in Buckhead, if you know Buckhead.
Yes, I do know Buckhead. That was my hangout.
So before we go any further, there's a couple other callers that want to call in. So, John, I just want you to know your line is open again. And let me click on Akua. Your line is open. And then caller from the 770, your line is
that's
open.
Atlanta.
So welcome
Atlanta.
To
I was about to say, that's Atlanta.
What's going on, people? How y'all doing?
So who is this from the 770?
This is Eric Moore.
You know, I thought it was, but you know, I just had to ask.
So how you doing?
How you doing, sis? How you doing? How's everybody on the panel doing tonight?
Good.
This is an absolutely amazing panel tonight. You wouldn't believe trees. The blinds that are lighting up is just amazing. But Akua is one of the, she's an electric violinist, hip-hop artist out of Seattle, Washington. She just performed at Dopatorium on Saturday. So I'm excited, Akua, that you're here. And Eric Moore is an absolutely one of the best spoken word artists I have ever heard, have not met in person, and he is out of Atlanta. And I believe, Eric, you've got a new CD that's about to come out?
It's actually coming out 12:01 tonight, yes.
Wow.
Oh, it's coming out tonight. Okay, okay. Mm. So he's one of the best that I have, you know, I have ever heard. And on top of that, just an absolutely amazing, amazing man, you know, along with the talent. So, Akua, you've been on the line the longest holding. So what are your thoughts around some of the things that have been discussed that you've heard?
Well, I would say for the most part, a lot of what I'm hearing, it's kind of like at the Hip Hop Business Expo that was at the Seattle Center recently. Q-Dot was like, don't be intimidated by the industry. Don't be intimidated by this business. But if you listen to the panel, it does sound intimidating, you know, to someone who's not really heavily involved in studio engineering or management. There's a lot of, truthfully, a lot of artists in general don't have business acumen all the time.
Yeah,
you know.
I'm live right now.
And so for that reason, it sounds very daunting to someone who has not really been keeping up with the trends. And, you know, you can be very successful in this industry without having a deal or a record label. There's artists like Jean Grey, you know, she's independent. She's been independent for the longest time. And, you know, she's been able to make her ends just selling her CD independently, whether on Amazon or, you know. So it is still about who you know and, you know, just having fun with it, you know. But it's interesting. It's very interesting for the most part, you know.
I agree. So Eric, you've been on hold for a little bit. So what do you think about what you've heard so far?
Well, you know, I was like, I think I chimed in when they were talking about the professionalism of certain artists or the lack thereof.
Right.
And I think what takes place, you know, a lot of these artists out here, they really don't have an overall vision of where they want to be or why, you know, or why they truly want to be in this particular industry. A lot of artists get into this industry due to the fact that, you know, they see, you know, individuals such as Jay-Z, you know, Kanye, you know, and I'll mention them because you brought up in the conversation. They see individuals such as this on stage and they, with the houses and the cars and the Lil Wayne's and so forth, but they really don't have an overall vision as to where they want to take their craft. So when you have an artist, whether it be a singer, a rapper, a poet, or what have you, who gets into this business and they're very ignorant to the ways of business, then they're going to act that way when it comes to their craft until they educate themselves or until they are educated on how to conduct themselves in business. But I tell a lot of people, you know, they ask me, how do you stay successful? I said, well, just like you rehearse, you know, your poems or your 16 bars, what you got to do, you got to know the business and as well. You have to conduct yourself a certain way. And, you know, until these artists do that or until there's an organization, you know, that's willing to spend time and educate artists in a proper manner, then you're going to continue to have people acting out the way that Kanye does, you know, the way that Jamie Sydney does. You see, so I mean, it's hope, but it's just real. It's real. The light at the end of the tunnel is just very, very dim right now.
So yeah, no, I think it kind of goes back to what DeClos said at the very beginning of the show. Is, you know, when he came on, you know, he talked about the fact that he has educated himself. You know, he stayed up all night. He did his research. He you know, studied, you know, contracts and the different business aspects, you know, when he decided to step out there in the game as an underground independent artist. And I think that's something that is lacking in many ways. And for DJ Madhouse to talk about the fact of, you know, professionalism, I think that, you know, the artists that are out there, whether it be, you know, the those of you that are here on the panel today, you know, there are young people watching, you know, and paying attention. And whether it be a Kanye West or a Lil Wayne or, you know, an Eric Moore, you know, you guys are examples to those that are coming up, you know, behind you as to, you know, how to represent as a professional, you know, out there in the game. And so, you know, there's a lot of responsibility, you know, when you do step out there. There's a lot of, it's kind of scary, too, at the same time, because you're taking your craft and something that I believe you would consider your passion and exposing yourself to, you know, other people's opinion, and, you know, about who you are and what it is that you do. You know, like Lili had talked about, you know, her name, the LaRue name means a lot, you know, to her. I have been raised the same way, you know, where my family name means a lot. And so when I go out in public, when I'm on the radio show, when I interact with people, I always keep that in mind that, you know, my name is important and it's very reflective, you know, of who I am, my children, my father, and all of that. So I think it's just an interesting, you know, it's interesting to have a conversation with this and with people from across the United States, you know, as far as, you know, what is this game all about? You know, I had posted on Facebook earlier today, you know, is it your hustle or is it your true passion? You know, and so it's like, because I'll be honest with you guys, you know, there's some people out there that got a pretty good hustle down, but they don't have a talent. They don't have a heart, you know. And then there's some people that have just a true passion behind what it is that they do and who they are, that don't have, like, that hustle, you know, in them either. And so it's just kind of an interesting balance to hear your stories and your thoughts around, you know, what this game is all about when it comes to being an underground independent artist or people that serve the artist, such as it sounds like DJ Madhouse and Lili LaRue, you know, or even the Lady Flava, you know. So I know, John, you had dropped off the line and came back in. So do you have any thoughts of what you've heard on the back end of the show so far?
Professionalism. Can't say enough about professionalism. Carry yourself in your business, be it music, spoken word, what have you, the way you want people to see you in life. Professionalism is the key. That I can't stress, and I'm not just saying this for brothers. I'm saying this for people in general, male, female, black, white, artists. People, their first impression of you lasts a lot longer than you think it does, and the way you carry yourself determines how people deal with you in the business world. What we're in is a business. Now, you know, I learned this firsthand from Brian O'Neill. Because me, you know, Lady Flavor, it was all about the music for me. I want to be heard, right. I got music, this and that. That brother pulled me aside and was like, listen, I understand the passion. It's like, I've been doing this for over 20 years. He was like, but you need to understand that this is a business. And you take off your musician hat and you put your business hat on every time you enter a negotiation for a deal that has to do with what you do. What you do is music. You're a songwriter. Like, this is business, plain and simple. He was like, you need to get that, retain that information, comprehend that information, and apply that information, because people will eat you alive. Their first impression, it's the one that lasts, and people base how they treat us as artists on their first impression of us. If you come off kind of half-assed saying whatever you feel like saying, you know, if you think you're keeping up with the latest slang, there's a time for that. A couple good friends that are rappers, they get on stage and I think, man, I can't believe this guy ever sat at my house and had dinner, because they're grimy. But that's what they do there. They don't carry themselves right. That way in the business world. I think we need to be able to separate ourselves from who we are and what we do.
That,
to me, is most important. I mean, I get a lot. Well, again, Lady Flubber, you know some of the negative aspects of being professional that I've run into.
Mm-hmm.
It's for some reason, it seems that brothers aren't supposed to be professional. We're not supposed to say hello. Our word should always be sup. You know, so for me, I've ran into both. I've seen both sides of this sword, so to speak. And it's not always a good thing. It's pretty damn annoying, actually.
But you know what, though, brother?
It is what it is.
You know what, though, brother?
Is this the brother from Cyprus?
Yes, sir.
Hey, you know, I was waiting to talk to you. How are you, brother?
Man, what's going down with
you,
bro?
Came on here. Hey, you would be surprised. We'll wrap on that a little bit. Man, you'd be surprised. I've had everything from the mild, you're black, to, well, you don't sound black when you sing, you know. Or I had a major label actually tell me, you know, you don't sound black enough. I mean, what do you think? The music's tight, but you don't sound,
I sound like I sound.
I'm just waiting on an up-and-coming hip-hop artist or a conscious spoken word artist. I want someone to step up and tell the truth. You understand? Not saying that you guys are not doing it, but I think that most of the artists that are out there right now are more concerned about making it, more concerned about their career getting launched and this and that, instead of standing up and telling the truth. Because if you really think about this hip-hop music and this culture that involves in it, let's get it straight, you all. Hip-hop is the most money-making business out there. Yeah. We're talking about gold rings, gold teeth, the baggy pants, the styrofoam cup. We can't leave that cup out. Got to bring the cup. Ain't nothing in it. Ain't even no money in it. Ain't even a drop in it. But we're going to bring the cup to the clothes, the culture, the women, the guys. And guys, it's so important, man, to pull them pants up, because if you really know the culture behind baggy pants, it means gay. It means gay. It means it's letting a guy in prison know that if you wear your pants down to your butt, you're not taken. That's what that means. So I'm hoping that I'm pissing some people off. I'm hoping.
Hoping some people listening.
Yeah.
Let's keep it real. Let's hope some people are listening.
Yeah,
okay?
I'm hoping they're listening too, because
you got to be labeled.
Guess what? They hate me. They hate me. They hate me in Hotlanta. They hate me. That's okay. I hate them too. No, I don't. I'm just joking. But I want to play hip. I want to play food. Look, I'm serious. I don't play for nothing less than $2,500, and I'm not doing more than 2 hours. Believe me when I tell you that. And I will not play a hip-hop venue. I actually was playing at this place called The Opera. And then, can you believe the guy? Hey, is it okay if you can just play just a couple of hip-hop songs and you can make the... Dude, are you joking? You got to be joking. The guy actually tapped me on my shoulder to ask me that. I'm looking around for security. I'm like, yo, where's security at? I mean, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Basically, what I'm trying to say, you all, I think hip-hop is a great thing, but we need to tell the truth. Instead of, you know, giving this image that we all thugs, that we all live in the hood, drinking 40s and this and that, you know what I mean? And, you know, it's not true. It's not true, y'all. It's not. And I'm sorry. I'm going to say this and shut up. Really, I'm going to be real quick. If somebody's running their mouth talking about something in a rap or in live in person, if it doesn't make sense, it's not true. Now I'm going to repress a vocalization and let you guys do it.
There you go. That's so true.
Can I have to see real quick?
Hey, man, I want to thank everybody for letting me come over to their show. I have a show that's coming up in about 10 minutes. I'm not here to give a shameless plug, and I will not do it because that's not what I do. I hate when people come on my place and do that, but I just want to thank everybody for letting me say what I have to say. And I'm definitely, Flavor, I'm definitely going to come back here. I like your show. I'm coming back.
Oh, I appreciate you coming, and go ahead and give a plug for your show. I'm okay with that.
You know what? I'm going to be honest. That's not what I do. You know what I'm saying? I mean, I think that when people come to somebody's show, it's
I'm
just
all about sharing the love, DJ Madhouse.
Well, you know, check this out. Don't you hate when people come to your house and the first thing they do is walk to your refrigerator? Yo, wash your hands.
Exactly.
Just seeing you scratching yourself and you all up in my refrigerator? You got to be joking.
Okay.
It's the same thing.
I'll let you in.
It's the same thing.
Baby.
And I appreciate that, Flav. I really do. I appreciate that, though. But it's the same thing. When somebody come to your show, the least they can have is the decency to be respectful. And I thank you. God bless you all. Hopefully, we're bumping to each other again. I gave Flav my information. I want all the artists on this page, especially that violinist, especially you.
She's amazing.
I get with you, bro. I gotta get some of the tracks and do some remixes on, put some house to it. Put some
tracks. So I'll make sure that I give everybody your contact information.
Thank you so much.
That sounds really good. Thank you
again. Have a nice evening, you all.
Right.
Thank you so much.
All righty. Okay. Bye bye. So we have got eight minutes left in the show, and we have got an absolutely amazing panel going on here. I don't know if you guys want to stay on the line and go past. It will continue streaming live. It will continue recording. It just won't, after 8 minutes, it's not going to be streaming live for the people in the chat room or who's listening live. They'll be able to hear it, in the archive. So that is totally up to you. I'm definitely open for that if that's what you're wanting to do. I'm hoping that I can get Intella to talk on something right quick. Intella, are you willing to chime in a bit?
What's up?
You're like, Flav, don't put me on the spot.
No, it's cool.
So
it's cool.
As I mentioned earlier, Intellect is not only a hip-hop artist here in Seattle, he is also a producer, and he's an absolutely amazing producer. I just wondered, Intellect, if you would be willing to speak on, you as being a professional who provides a service to the artist, the frustrations that you have gone through in regards to working with artists and getting the respect that you are a professional that's helping them create, a professional product.
Well, me, myself, when I'm going through things and when I'm having frustrations, a lot of times I have to look at what part I play in it, because you always play a part in whatever goes on around you, So it's like, for me, I just had to recognize not to necessarily take it upon myself to feel frustrated about what other folks do. I just had to understand why people do what they do. So it's just a matter of, understanding where people might see themselves at in their career versus, it's not all about me and what I want and what I expect from people. A lot of times it's about people defining their level, And a lot of times people can do that without you asking them their level just by you watching the way that they handle themselves when they come into the studio or when they're addressing me about business or when they're asking me about, certain things they might want from me or want me to do for them. It's just a matter of understanding that it's not something to be frustrated about. It's just more of a understanding where someone is, where they're at, where their mind is,
So I think that probably from the beginning of when you started, what do I call it? Should I call it a career as being a producer? I think that just like as myself and supporting artists, you probably have taken some hard knocks to have now learned, what you would now do in the present and the future from the experiences of the past. Correct, Intellect?
Right. It's all necessary. So, there's different ways to learn things. As long as you're learning and not taking it as a hit, then you're fine. You're learning as you go. You take heed to what's going on and make sure that you can understand what's happening as much as you can so that you're not making the mistake of having to go through a bunch of the same things over and over again.
Right.
And then another side note, it's like, with the, people not necessarily getting what they feel they may deserve or, so on and so forth. A lot of these levels, though, are necessary.
you know, because I remember when no one knew who I was, and I was just trying to get on. I was happy to get into a spot, but you know, it's like if you're on a level that where you're not a newbie or not a beginner, then that doesn't mean that certain situation isn't important for somebody else. It's just the fact that you might be past that yourself, and that's the time where you got to, you know, get to another level and get your just due. You know, a lot of people just have to define themselves and where they're at in this business. And some folks don't even want to be in the business. They're just more in it for hobby, you know. So you got to separate yourself from a hobbyist if you want to be professional as well, you know. A lot of it breaks down to what role we play in the circumstance, though.
Do you think that there are people who jump out there and it's all about the hype and it's more of a game to them, but they don't necessarily identify it that way?
Of course.
I just thought I would just open that up since, like, he said that, you know?
Who was saying that earlier? I think it might have been Swift. There's people that it cracks me up, and I don't like judging folks, you know, on their level of talent, but folks expect to be, I don't know, they expect to be somewhere, and then you listen to them and wonder if they're listening to themselves, because it's like, I don't see how they could expect to be, you know, on this certain level. You know, it's like a lot of cats come out and they get the shine, but it's like, they're not, you know, what I would consider dope. But then I guess you got different perspectives of what talent is and what, you know, what's exciting to people. So, I don't know.
You know, that's an interesting thing that you just said. It's something that I talk about all the time, and it seems to kind of get brushed over a bit. But it's like, you know, who says somebody's talented or not? And when I talk to authors or even, you know, spoken word artists or even hip-hop artists or musicians or whatever, I tell them, you know, go have somebody listen to it who's not your mama or your girl or, you know, somebody who can be, you know, can give you an honest opinion.
You know what, Lady Flavor, oh, my God, that is too funny that y'all brought that up, because I had an artist that hit me up. Hit me with his EPK, and he was like, you know, just let me know what you think about it. I'm like, okay, I'll listen to it. And he was like, you know, he was shopping for a record label. I was like, okay, look, I'm gonna give you this one, okay? I'm gonna see what I can do. But when I listened to the music, I thought to myself, is this a beat machine that he's really working with? This was just strictly a beat machine that he had on a track, and that was it. I mean, it was just. And I said, you know, I'm going to keep my word. I'm going to go ahead and shop this to my peoples, and I put it into the note, you know, look, he is not signed to my label, okay? He is not signed to my company, but I did say that I was going to do this. Give me your thoughts on this. And it took them 2 weeks to get back to me, and they were like, are you serious? Did you seriously? I was like, man, I did. I kept my word. But I knew it was going to fly. You have to. There's a talent for people that have ears. I don't know what you call them, but you know, Pete, there's a gift. Just like you have people that are producers. I'm not a producer, so I ain't gonna sit here and elaborate on what I know about producing because I don't know nothing. So, you know, but I know music. I know what sounds good to my ear. I know what's probably gonna sound good to everybody else's ear. You know, you can't get everybody to co-sign your stuff. You know, it's not going to happen. So
exactly.
I shopped it around, you know.
Sometimes I think, okay, Flavor, you're 50 years old. Maybe you're just too old.
I don't think so.
If I listen to the stuff and I'm like, who's really telling you you're good?
Yeah.
Well, if you're
50
and
you're
not a Hall of Famer yet, then you probably need to sit it down. But
this is what I think the situation is. You got a lot of these artists out there, or quote unquote these so-called people who want to be MCs or rappers or singers or poets, spoken word artists. and they've watched the HBO Deaf Poetry. They've watched BET, seen the videos. You know what I'm saying? So they see all of this and say, yo, I can do that. Yo, I got more swag than this dude. I got more skill. I can flow better than him. And then in the background, they got their three boys who ain't never did nothing in their life who co-signed for them.
Mm-hmm.
They, like,
yeah,
so
really.
They fall directly into that trap.
No doubt. So
that's a trap, right?
Telling you that you this, that, and everything else. And in reality, your skill is worse than garbage truck shoes. You stink. But since you've been pumped up, you now have that, like, you know, mirage implanted in your head that you are the ish. And it's just the opposite.
You said garbage truck. Let me ask you all a question. How many of you are songwriters?
I'm a songwriter.
Okay, you're a songwriter. So let me ask you this. When you write something, because you're a songwriter, so you write, I'm assuming, a lot of different kinds of music. Okay, when you write something, let's say you write a jazz piece, an instrumental. Do you take that to jazz musicians that are your peers, and then do you take it to a group of people, let's say people that don't even necessarily listen to jazz, to review it? How do you get your over? Say again.
No, I said I take it to people who, you know, don't necessarily listen to a certain genre of music to see what they think.
Yeah. Okay. Now, don't you find that's a really good strategy for you getting overall feel of the quality of that song?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah.
It is definitely a definite good strategy. Actually, I found another strategy to be good is, say, if I decide to write a song and I record it and I give it to people and I don't tell them it's me, but just to see their reaction and see, you know, what do they really think of the song and not just, you know, the friend answer.
Right.
Their honest opinion of how they feel that the song sounds. Now, I do have those, you know, certain people around me who will be completely honest with me, but it's a few people who I caught on the whole, you know, they're giving me the industry friend answer, and they're, oh, yeah, that's dope. And I'd be like, man, come on, be real with me. I know your views. You know my views. Really tell me how you feel about this song. You know,
yeah,
and I've had people tell me, okay, that's not really my style, but it's dope because you're on point, or what you're talking about is real, or the lyrics are solid, or the all-around track itself is just, you know, it's solid. But to me, it's better to just, you know, give people a track, don't tell them it's you, and really see what they think.
Well, you know, that's why I started my Flossom or Tossom shows, and I don't say the artist's name or even the names of the tracks when I do the show. But then there are some of the artists that actually say their names in the pieces. So, you know, unfortunately, I can't help that. But, you know, I want people to actually say, do you think this is a quality track? Do you think it's not? Do you think there's potential if they put some work into it or whatever? And, you know, it's kind of interesting because some of the people who've been tossed off of my shows are people who just have an absolutely amazing hype out there, you know,
mm-hmm.
and doing it maybe the right way, but people aren't feeling what it is that they're doing, you know.
Yeah.
So I do think it's really interesting. Like, I think there are a lot of people who desire to be creative, you know, and that it's something they really, really want. But, you know, let's just keep it real. You know, Lady Flava can't sing. You know, and as much as I would love to be able to sing.
I can sing a little bit.
You, maybe if I went in the studio with Intellect, maybe he could do something with my voice or whatever, you know. But
I heard Intellect can put anybody down. He could put
auto tune it.
Auto tune
it.
Auto tune
it.
Deaf, huh?
What, Lady Flavor?
Well, auto tune was dead.
You fly into Michigan. Friday night. And Saturday, when I get up to go to my voice lessons, you can come with me.
How's that? You can come with. We'll both sit in front of Polly.
Sometimes I have to watch Little Atlanta Housewife. Somebody needs to tell Kim she can't sing. You know, the family's not doing her no justice.
You can't even auto-tune that. You can't even auto-tune that. That's when you know you are dead wrong for being on the mic. You can't even auto-tune it and make it sound halfway decent.
You know,
there's a lot
but
of people
like,
out there getting
you know,
paid, though, that can't do it. And they're getting paid. That hype is something.
Yeah. And, you know, I think people just, you know, it's not about being mean. It's not about trying to steal somebody's dreams. But I do think that at some point, if you're wanting to take it to a professional level, you need to know whether you have something that's marketable and people are going to buy. You know, when we started out the show, we talked about sacrifices, right?
Mm-hmm.
I totally can get if there's an understanding with everybody in that artist world that sacrifices need to be made. I totally understand that's something that's necessary if you honestly have a God-given talent, you know, to put yourself out there. You know, but to sacrifice and you don't have a talent, like, come on now.
Right.
You know,
my father
and,
said this one time. You know, he's like, a man has got to know his limitations. You know, if you were born in water, right, don't think you can fly. You know what I'm saying? If, you know, if just because you can sing in a tub or sing in a shower don't mean you can sing on stage well. Everyone can sing. Not everyone can sing well.
Yeah.
Right.
But it's like, who's going to say, you know, who's really going to say that to him, though, really?
And
you
that's
you have
the thing.
To, though. I love
somebody
when people tell
to.
Me. Yeah, hey.
Somebody has to, but I'm with Intellect. Who's going to tell them, though? You know,
I mean, I guess
well,
crazy.
They ain't came across me then.
I got trouble.
Yeah, Kevin, if you put something in my inbox, I'm gonna let you know that it's not gonna fly. I'm sorry, but that's a no go. It's not happening. But good luck to you, okay?
Right. That's what we do as musicians to each other is tell each other the truth, man. Because you know, I just told y'all I'm taking voice lessons, didn't I? Hey, you
right.
kind of be able to step up your game. It all depends on what it means to you. You can take it only so far, but when you reach the level where you know you need something that can improve something that you love so much that you sacrifice sleep and finances and sometimes health and well-being for, why not?
Exactly. Just take the initiative, you know.
And you got to. This is our craft. You got to step it up.
But that's the problem. Everybody thinks that it is it's their craft, but even though it's more or less, you can't. I call a spade, you know. If you don't want me to tell you the truth, then please don't put it in my inbox. Please don't hit me
exactly.
up on Facebook.
Yeah.
You know.
Exactly.
And I put it out here on Facebook quite often. Do not put nothing in my inbox. Especially, please don't put no video out here for everybody to see if it's not your best work.
Exactly.
Don't do it because I'm going to, you know, I'm going to call you out. That's not cool. I'm going to call you. I'll be like, what in the world? Please don't do that.
If it is their passion, that those words that you tell them may be the words that make them say, you know what? All right, then I'm going to step up my game. I need to step it up a notch or two. That might be what they need. You know, you're an
industry
professional.
Like Judas, though, if you tell them the truth, you now become Judas. Because,
exactly.
Well, you know what?
You know, and that's
so
the problem. Unless you, you know, I mean, for the most part, when I do get hit up, I'm going to put it out there. And it's an everyday situation, you know, they know that me being growing up in this industry and coming from, you know, places like my family, you know, has worked in Motown. Has owned their own record labels back in the day, and we still in this game thick, you know. I ain't going to speak on it unless I know what the hell I'm talking about. So if I know that you can't sing or you can't rap just because you step in the booth and kick two verses out, all of a sudden you're a bona fide MC, that is not the case. It really isn't, and I'm going to tell you that. And I'm like, you know, it's just not happening. But if I come out and say, you know what, we need to talk, then you know you got something. Because if I'm going to waste my time out of taking away from my other artists and making phone calls across the country and, you know, across the globe, I need to talk to you, then you know you got something, and I want it.
Some
that's
of that.
Been, you know, that's what it is. Intellect, no. Intellect, no. I'm still trying to get him inside my camp.
Yeah.
Well, I think that once, I mean, you know, as I said earlier in the show, I think it's scary when you're an underground independent artist, or maybe, you know, underground independent artist, to step out there, you know, on faith. Because once you become public that you're an artist, you know, then you expose yourself to people's
mm-hmm.
criticism or whatever.
You definitely
you know,
need
and
the microscope.
I started out in this game as a book reviewer, you know, and it's interesting. I'll be honest, in the beginning it was like, you know, oh, Flavor, you can find something good out of what this person wrote. You know, and then I was like, as I matured as a book reviewer, I said, you know what, just like you said, Lily, if you want to know my honest opinion, then you need to, you know, want my
opinion. Be prepared for the
opinion.
Outcome, right.
And I'll be honest, there are people on Facebook that I've given my honest opinion of their product, and they deleted me. You know, I was chatting with somebody on Skype, and I did a review on their poetry book, and click delete. You know, so
I've had your honest opinion. I didn't delete you, but I've had your honest opinion, so I know this to be true. I told
you know,
y'all the truth hurt.
Yeah, it can hurt sometimes, you know, but it's like, you know.
But that's
you know,
my thing is, why do these artists come to you if they, you know what I'm saying? I don't understand. Why do they even come to you if they're not willing and prepared for, you know, the verdict, so to speak?
Because they think they are.
You know, why did you come to me anyway? If I didn't like your stuff, I just didn't like it. If I didn't like your music, if I didn't like the production on the track, why did you come to me then? You thought that I was just going to say an automatic yes just because, what, I accepted you as my friend on Facebook?
People
are you kidding me?
That this industry is merciful. And the first thing I ever heard about it was, better develop a thick skin, young blood. The very first thing I heard, I'll never forget
mm-hmm.
that.
But that's the old school way.
That
is the old school
yeah.
way. If you come
that's
from
exactly
old school, they
doing.
Tell you automatically, you know, you got to have some tough skin. Nowadays,
yeah.
people just want to, you know, your boys are going to co-sign. But back in the day,
mm-hmm.
you know, I had band members that I've seen with my uncles and my aunts, you know, be like, no, we're not even going to go with that. With that,
yep.
no. That, that horn mm-hmm. section, no, take the horns out. Or anything like that, it's not working. And they had a falling out. But back in the day, that was acceptable. Today, it's like, you know, you gotta be careful because then, you know, like you said, they may see you in a club performing a set and all hell breaks loose, all behind of what
right.
you know, you critique their music as, you know, being poop.
I was talking to Jace of Black Stacks, and I said to him, I said, you know, I should get a license plate that says Lady Flavor, right? And then I said, you know what, maybe I don't want to have a license plate. I'm going to come out someplace and have my tire slashed or something.
Exactly.
You know.
But it's interesting, you know, and I do appreciate everybody that called into the show tonight. This was an absolutely great you know, dialogue that took place, you know, from, you know, John in Detroit to, you know, Eric Moore in Atlanta to DeCloak in Chicago and, you know, Mr., you know, DJ Madhouse from wherever, Texas, Detroit, Atlanta, wherever he is, to Lili in Tampa, Florida, and, you know, Akua and Swift Tongues in Seattle and Intellect here in Kent. Is that right, Kent?
I'm in Federal Way right now, by way of Seattle.
Way. Okay, so, you know, this was just absolutely amazing experience. And for people from different degrees of, you know, being recording artists and all of that. So I really appreciate all of you coming out tonight and sharing, you know, this time with me. And I'll have to tell you, this is probably my most favorite show that I do, you know, just because it's a topic that I talk about a lot with artists online too, you know, phone calls and emails, like the struggles that everybody goes through, you know, and just even my own self, you know, the struggles that I go through in, you know, supporting artists. You know, I've taken financial hits in supporting, you know, artists myself, you know, and that wasn't a good feeling, you know, to do that and to process why that took place, you know, is hard, you know. You know, so when you talk about, you know, investments and sacrifices, you know, the financial sacrifice that I made, I felt it was worth it. Now, in the end, after the fact, I'm not sure. I'll be honest. I'm not sure whether it was worth it in the end. But at the time of planning the event and everything and putting it together, it was well worth it because I thought that it was an absolutely amazing team, great planning, you know, a lot of time, you know, to plan and make sure that it went right, and then it fell apart. And I was the one that took the financial hit. You know, so I think, you know, when John put out the subject of, you know, sacrifices and what you're willing to sacrifice to get to the point of what you deem and consider success, I think it's something that's important. I think it's something that's worth talking about, whether it be financial sacrifices to time sacrifices or, you know, relationship sacrifices or whatever it is. You know, I think when it comes to you guys being artists or doing the work that you do, such as Lili and Intellect, you know, who provide services to the artists, you know, I think it's something to really, really take into consideration. I think it's important, as DeClove talked about, you know, in doing the research, you know, and having all of that in place in the beginning. I think that it's another thing to think about, and what are you willing to sacrifice as an artist, you know, going into this game, because it's not going to be an overnight success, you know, just like Lili talked about. Okay, they're getting ready to do this showcase in January in Orlando, you know, and sacrifices are going to have to be made financially to bring in the people, the A&R people, who are going to, you know, review the artists. Now, some of the groups are actual groups. Okay, maybe only one person, you know, is going to, you know, catch the attention of the A&R person. Then what happens to the rest of them? I mean, there's so much that goes into this when you step out there, you know. And so, you know, I appreciate all of you guys coming, you know, into this conversation. I will go ahead and close the show out, if that's okay, unless anybody else has something else they want to talk about. Or we can just, you know, table it for the next round table, which will take place next Monday, and it's going to be an early show. So, you know, everybody that's able and willing to, you know, please come out to that. But let me just go down the line of who's left on the line. And, you know, I want you guys to give your contact information, websites or, you know, Facebooks or whatever it is, you know, where people can find out more about you and connect with you. So, Lili LaRue.
Yes.
So where can people find out more about LaRue Entertainment?
They can go to www.larueentertainmentinc.com, or they can hit me up on Facebook under Lisa LaRue or Lili LaRue. Or they can come to you. From there if they can't find my name. So
exactly.
Under your friends list.
And then Intellect, where can people find out more about you or connect with you?
I'm pretty scattered around. You can like Bing or Google Intellect, and I'll pop up somewhere.
Okay, so you know what? I believe in the Google thing. I think it's really important when you're an artist for people to be able to go and Google you. If they can't Google you, then there's something wrong. So that's just my personal opinion. Just to throw that in there.
You can be Googling
so,
all night.
Like, click, I'm on page 10, click. Okay, I can't find nothing about you. Like, okay, there's something wrong, you know. So John D. Green, where can people find out more about you?
www.johndgreensenior.com, www.allmediaartists.com, and hopefully you're all hip to that whole new All Media Artists website. I'm on Facebook. You can Google me. That'll occupy a couple hours of your time. And, mainly www.johndgreensenior.com.
John.
Yep, all ran together. John D. Green Sr. JohnDGreenSr.
So, John, now, do you have a CD that you plan on coming out in December?
Yeah, coming out.
Is that
the end,
still on track?
Hopefully. So far, so good. We're all on track. So far, so
okay.
Good.
Okay, so John D. Green is going to have a CD coming out in December. So then, Eric Moore, tell people where they can find out more about you and find out about this wonderful CD that you've got coming out at midnight.
Okay, you can find me at Eric Moore. I'm sorry, I'm about to say EricMoore.com. I stopped that. You can find me on Facebook.com under EryKMoore. I'm Googleable. And you can find me.
Googleable,
yeah, I know. You can also purchase the CD and check out the CD on CDBaby.com, iTunes, Rhapsody, any media market. You'll be able to check it out and purchase the CD at 12:01 tonight.
Hey, Eric, you need to patent that. Googleable. That's good.
Right.
You can use
right.
That.
Definitely.
I just added John on the Facebook.
Maybe you need to write a piece called Googleable.
That's what I'm
saying.
Perfect, man.
That
would
be
dope, right?
I'm kind of feeling that word, Googleable.
There you go.
But honestly, you know what?
If you're open for collaborations, you got my number.
I think that should be doable, the Googleable. But
Googleable
honestly,
Nation.
You know, I cannot brag more about a spoken word artist. You know, I kind of came into this first as a literary, book reviewer, and then I kind of got more so involved with spoken word. But I have to tell you, Eric Moore is one of the best, the absolute best. So you have to come back to one of my shows, and I'll play you, you know, some of his tracks, or maybe he can come back, and we can do a feature on him and have him spit live. Absolutely amazing artist. So, you know, I just had to put that in there. And, of course, it doesn't take away from you know, John being absolutely amazing and Intellect being absolutely amazing. But, you know, I think that spoken word artists just don't get the shine that they do, their due. And I think I would love to see, you know, that art form, you know, get much more media attention and the respect that it's due because, you know, they're storytellers, you know, and they hit home, they hit emotions, you know, with the wordplay and all of that. So anyway, I just have to put that out there, and not to ignore DeCloak, absolutely amazing artist that has just recently come into my world, and I'm getting to know, and the first person that called into the show this evening. So, DeCloak, I really, really appreciate you, you know, being on the line this whole time. So, tell people where they can find out more about you, and what you do.
Well, I will say this, just as Eric Moore said it. You know, Google me. I would love to give all the websites, but honestly, it would take up another 10, 15 minutes. I'm not going to do that. Google me, DACLOAK. I'm on Facebook, MySpace, Twitter, all the major websites. As far as anything coming out soon, I have a mixtape coming out soon, which is the second installment called Life Music Volume 2, The Sleeping Giant is Awake. Right now, Volume 1 is out right now. Hip Hop Lives for free download on Mediafire. I'm pretty sure that link will come up if you Google my name. So definitely look me up. I'm always open for collaborations. That's pretty much. And, of course,
okay.
I have to get a track to you, Lady Flavor. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, you do.
I definitely have to get a track to you. So as soon as the second single is ready, all the necessary business taken care of, I will get that to you.
That's wonderful. I appreciate that. I, I'm so glad that I met you over on Paradigm Show. That's, you know, I think that's another thing is going around to some of the other shows. And I stepped away from doing that. And I kind of did it for a reason because it was like the same artist over and over and over. And I needed to step away because I really like to keep things fresh. And so when I came back, you know, then I was able to meet some new people and hear some fresh, you know, flavor and stuff like that. So I'm glad that I came by Paradigm Show and was able to meet you, DeCloak. So again, everybody, I'm so appreciative for all of you coming out and participating in this show tonight. I think that tonight's show was an absolutely great discussion. You can find out more about me at www.flavornews.com. And I'm Googleable too, so you can just Google Flava News or Lady Flava, and you can find me too. And trust me, I pop up on the first page. So, but anyway, thank you so much to all of you, and I want to thank Kakua that was on the line with us earlier, and Swift Tongue that was on the line earlier with us. Swift Tongue has a performance tonight, so I know he needs to get ready and prepare for that. And you know, I appreciate all of you that make the sacrifices, you know, that you do make, you know, and you know, just love the people in your world, you know, and let them know that you appreciate them too.
You too, Lady Flair.
Yes, thanks, Lady.
So, yeah, but anyway, so until next Monday, you know, I love you guys, you know, and I respect you. And appreciate all of you for who you are and what you do because you make my life interesting, you know? If it wasn't for you guys, I wouldn't be Lady Flava. So, you know, much respect to all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.
All righty. So I say goodnight to all of you, and we will be in touch, I'm sure, on Facebook, if no place else.
Definitely.
All right. Take care.
Good night.
Y'all be here. Bye, y'all.